bertemu kembali. Saham di pasaran Asia dijangka rendah hari ini selepas saham di Amerika mengakhiri dagangan positif selama 3 hari berturut-turut. Ini dengan peningkatan kes positif COVID-19 dan jangkaan akan ada arahan tinggal di rumah yang kedua yang mampu rencatkan dagangan global. Menurut laporan Reuters, ini akan menyukarkan proses pemulihan ekonomi global. Sentimen optimis pemulihan telah diburukkan dengan peningkatan kes di Beijing dan beberapa negeri di Amerika. Dalam masa yang sama, harga minyak mentah turut menurun susulan kekhawatiran tentang kes baru COVID-19. Peningkatan kes COVID-19 akan akibatkan orang tinggal di rumah dan kurang berbelanja. Namun, antara sentimen yang menyokong pasaran adalah hasil positif rawatan dexamethasone yang mampu menyelamatkan pesakit COVID-19 yang kritikal. Dalam masa yang sama, dolar meningkat dengan pelabur mencari aset selamat susulan risiko geopolitik termasuk ketegangan kedua Korea dan antara India dan China. Dan untuk membincangkan berkenaan laporan yang kami bawakan pada hari ini, kita bersama dengan Shan Syed, Ketua Pakar Ekonomi Juwai IQI. Shan, first of all, let's start with the biggest news this morning. Former National Security Advisor John Bolton accuses Trump of pleading with China's President Xi Jinping during the G20 summit in Osaka, Japan. He said that we saw what happened. He wanted Xi Jinping to help him to win the re-election. We saw what happened with the impeachment in earlier this year, if I'm not mistaken, in regards to the Ukraine deal. Do you think businesses and investors would brush this off, or would it affect the recovery process in America?
I think just like, you know, the previous impeachment case that happened and it failed, this again will be failed miserably because, you know, there is no evidence. Mm-hmm. The book has just come out and nobody has actually got solid evidence. So we expect, you know, this is an election year, election happening on 3rd of November. Mm-hmm. Political shenanigan can happen, and there will be Democrats who will come up with a few tactics to portray Trump as a bad man. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's part of the game. But businesses in the macro level, they won't really look at these things very closely, and they are not very bothered.
Mm-hmm. And according to CNN, Bolton said that the conversation turned back to the trade deal that we've discussed so many times not too long ago. Trump proposed that for the remaining $350 billion of trade imbalances, the U.S. would not impose tariffs, but he again returned to importuning Xi to buy as many American farm products as China could. Will the Congress question the legitimacy of the trade deal? And do you think this will be affected, the trade deal, the second or the third trade deal?
I think the question is, has the China responded to this book? The answer is no. Mm-hmm. They have not really responded. And as far as the trade talks concerned, you know, the U.S. Came up with the tariff initially, and then they had a pause in between. But I think though the trade deal was stopped because U.S. was not gaining strength, mm-hmm. and the economy went into subpar growth. Mm-hmm. And that was a concern for many businesses that U.S. is not picking up. So I think at the moment, I think nobody has got solid evidence whether that actually happened with President Xi Jinping, mm-hmm. because there is no comment from the China side.
Mm-hmm. And Robert Lighthizer, the trade ambassador, is also confident that China is committed to fulfilling its end of the bargain in the trade deal phase one. We look at Beijing, which has imposed a partial lockdown following the resurgence of new COVID-19 cases. Do you think this will be fulfilled by China, or do you foresee another sharp downturn in the global trade?
I think we have to understand who started this trade war. It was the US, not China. China was always willing to have a very fair deal with everyone. And it was the US that started the trade war. But I think in the trade war, at this point of time, China will be calling the shots, and China will decide when to end this trade war. So mm-hmm. the ball is not in U.S. court, mm-hmm. it's in the China's court. Mm-hmm. So they have to decide. Right now, U.S. is in a very weak position. They have so many issues at the moment. You have trade war, you have COVID, The economy has gone into subpar growth. There is social unrest. So they are confronting many challenges. So how to engage with China at this point of time? I think engagement strategy remains the key. But, you know, China is not willing to budge at this point of time.
And China also has its own issues, internal domestic issues.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So how will China deal with that and probably impose its own strength on this trade deal?
I think every country has got so many things on their plate, you know. They don't want to engage in any hiccups, mm-hmm. especially as far as trade is concerned. Everybody is now, all the countries, including Malaysia, they are focused on macroeconomic stability. Mm-hmm. Macroeconomic stability drives the growth of any economy.
Mm-hmm. And let's talk about China and India. These are two huge countries and there's tension at the border. How will this contribute to the uncertainties that the global economy is already experiencing due to COVID-19? Will investors and businesses be a bit cautious, or do you see this as an isolated incident?
I think this is a very major issue that is happening. Mainstream media is not playing this issue. If this escalates, if China, God forbids, if China and India war escalates, you know, this will be a huge impact for the global economy. Mm-hmm. North Korea issue is right now is a wild card. Mm-hmm. But if you see this issue, the things are happening in Ladakh, mm-hmm. which is the north of India, and Sikkim, that is the northeast of India that borders Nepal and Bhutan. Mm-hmm. China has already made 60 kilometers of inroad. And engagement of China and India has, you know, has failed last night. Mm-hmm. And China has given certain conditions to India to follow and to fulfill. And India is not willing to fulfill those conditions. Mm-hmm. So I think if this escalates, I think that will be a huge drag on the global economy.
What consequences do you foresee from this, from the trade, global trade, from the economic point of view, from the investor sentiment point of view? What consequences do you see happening from, emerge from this China and India situation?
I think if this escalates, I think this will involve many countries. And this region, you know, especially the subcontinent and India, China, that will be a trigger point for many markets. Mm-hmm. And investors right now who are in who are following this closely, they understand it. Mm-hmm. But especially those investors in North America, in Europe, they don't really fathom the issue. Mm-hmm. So I think if this escalates, it will have a huge impact, not only in Asia, but also in Europe and North America. So I think saner elements will prevail. And, mm-hmm. you know, India will fulfill those conditions that have been set by China. And, you know, both sides will come to the negotiating table.
But do you think this will affect this recovery stage that many countries in Asia, many countries in Southeast Asia are looking forward to because of COVID-19? Do you think this China and India issue will impact their recovery process as well?
If there are two scenarios, you know, mm-hmm. if this escalates, yes. If this does not, yes, the recovery process will happen, but it will happen in a very slow manner. Mm-hmm. So right now, only those economies are moving which are aligned with China. If mm-hmm. you see, China has come back in the market very strongly. Their domestic economy is picking up very strongly at the moment. So those economies that are aligned with China, they will benefit from China's rise. But look at Europe. Europe, Japan, US, they have become irrelevant for many investors. Mm-hmm. So I think this could be a trigger point for many economies.
We saw somebody in the video that was provided by AP. We saw somebody holding a poster or a card or a piece of paper saying that no to made in China products. How big is the Indian market for Chinese products? I'm sure it's a huge market, right? It's 1 billion population. It's a huge market for Chinese products. Do you think this will be affected, or how do you think they will?
The trade right now is tilted towards, you know, China. Mm-hmm. China makes a lot of exports, mm-hmm. and they only import 90 billion from India. So if this escalates, India is going to suffer more because China is in a position, they have already taken pressure from US mm-hmm. during trade war, and China did not go down. It was US that has gone down, especially in terms of macroeconomic level. So if this escalates, China will impose tariffs on 90 billion imports from India, and Indian economy is already in subpar growth. They are already in recession. So I think they are going to suffer more as compared to China, because China has got the sustainability and they can take the pressure. They got $3.2 trillion of reserve. On the other hand, India has just got $400 billion of reserve. So there's a huge difference, you know.
All that and COVID-19, now that the positive cases have surpassed 8.2 million mark, many new treatments and vaccines are being developed or are made available. Do you think this will be over by the third quarter in terms of the, you know, these uncertainties in the market, people looking very negatively towards COVID-19? Do you think by third quarter, people will probably move forward on a positive note because of the treatments and also the vaccines being developed?
It is expected that vaccine will come out by Q3. And the distribution will start by Q4 this year and Q1 next year. So I think once this vaccine comes out, that will give some confidence to market investors that yes, we have found something to end this pandemic, which has created havoc and which has created chaos and disruptive to many economies. So we expect at IQI that this vaccine is coming by Q3 and then the distribution will start by Q4.
Q3 of this year. But you said Q1 is made available to...
Distribution will start by Q4 this year and Q1 next year.
But until Q1 of next year, do you think consumer confidence, business confidence, do you think that will be okay before Q1?
It depends on the economies, how the economies are performing. Mm-hmm. If the economies are already performing, even with this COVID, you know, look at some of the ASEAN economies, like Vietnam right now is still in the growth mode. Malaysia is picking up right now. Thailand is picking up. China is already has started. So I think if economies are on the move, they will have the confidence. But those economies, especially in Europe and North America, which are already in subpar growth, they are already into deep recession, it will take some time for them to recover. By 20, maybe 22, they will be able to come back into the market.
But on that note, do you think investors, property buyers, people who are looking to park their money in growth areas are coming to Southeast Asia or Asia itself because of the difference of growth in the Asian region, Southeast Asian region, as opposed to Europe and the US?
Absolutely. We have already shared real estate is a new global currency and a lot of those sophisticated and smart investors, sovereign wealth funds, hedge funds, institutional investors are coming to this part of the world because of one factor, and that is macroeconomic stability. So wherever you have macroeconomic stability, wherever you have economic confidence, investors feel comfortable. They are at ease parking the funds in that part of the region.
And we see unemployment skyrocketing right now at an incredible rate. The US is now, they have around about 40 million people unemployed, and many countries are also counting on their wage subsidies program. Once this is over, the moratoriums end, what will happen to consumer confidence and also spending? Will there be another dip? Because I think by then, this wage subsidy programs, the moratorium would end, consumers would be left with no money, no extra cash in that sense. Will they continue to spend, or what will happen to them?
I think if you recall, in January, February, I shared in one of your programs that US will have 47 million people who will be unemployed by June this year. This is happening. We have already touched 41 million. So I think as far as consumer sentiments are concerned, again, it depends, you know, how the economies are performing. But right now, the consumer sentiment, especially in Europe and in US, they are very bearish at the moment because they don't have the money. The economies are not moving. They are still locked down in this COVID situation. But on the other hand, you look at the East, the economies are moving up because the lockdown has been over. Economies are moving forward. Businesses are still, you know, started opening up. So I think in this part of the world, so you have two halves. You have Asia and you have Europe. So Asia, I think it will move much faster. The recovery process will be much quicker. As far as Europe might come back by 22, 23, same with US. Asia might come back by 2021.
But is Asia alone enough for countries, for trading nations like Malaysia? Because I think we depend on global trade, right? With the US, probably not so much with Europe, but with the US, it's a huge market for Malaysian products. Seeing that it's a global trading situation, how will this impact trading nations like Malaysia?
For the next 2 years, we expect global economy to slow down. We don't expect global economy to touch above 3%. It will be ranging between 1 to 2%. That is, again, a very optimistic note. But again, you know, countries have changed the economic model. They have changed. Look at China. They are focusing more towards domestic markets. Mm-hmm. So they are encouraging their consumers to go for domestic travel, for domestic consumption. So I think if you build yourself strong domestically, then you can export your products and then you can, you know, trade with the outside world. So I think the model has changed. Focus on the inner side and then you go to the outer side. But for the next 2 years, we expect global economy to have a GDP growth between 1 to 2%.
But what have your friends reported when it comes to this domestic consumption in China? Are they traveling? Are they spending? Are people in China spending a lot after the lockdown was eased in China? What are they reporting?
China's May's trade surplus happened. Many people thought that China would collapse. By this year, July, IQI, we expect China's GDP will be not 6%. It will be between 4 to 5% this year. Chinese consumers hold $2.5 trillion. You name a single country, you know, where consumers have got $2.5 trillion. None. You go to any country in Europe, they don't have the money. So I think consumer sentiment in China is still very positive. They have the money. They want to spend money. The luxury car sales, I give you a very small example of BMW.
Briefly, Shan. Yeah.
It has gone up by 10%.
In China?
In China. So that shows that consumers have money. They want to spend and they have confidence in the economy.
Thank you very much, Shan. Saya Ketua Pakar Ekonomi GYIQI membincangkan berkenaan dengan laporan terkini pada hari ini serta keadaan ekonomi dengan COVID-19. Kita akan berhenti di sini. Teruskan bersama kami di Astro Awani untuk pelbagai perkembangan lanjut dalam dan juga luar negara. Saya Rizal Zulkifli. Salam hormat.